Well, you'll notice that I'm not the William you might expect to read gospel. William and Ken Burvey are taking the youth group to a downtown church for their exploration of other faiths. And actually, they're going to United Methodist Church, so it'll be just a different way of worship. That's why they're gone today. But in his stead, you have me, and I am delighted to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. And if you look in your Bible on page 57, you'll find Luke 4, 21 through 32. And this takes off from the last passage that we read last week. So if you were here last week, you heard the beginning of this story, and you will see its end today. And the context, just briefly, is that Jesus is in the synagogue in Nazareth. So hear these words. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there are many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. He went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astounded at his teaching, because he spoke with authority. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, sometimes on Sunday mornings, the Bible stories that we read are fairly dependent upon the historical context. And they are so dependent on that context that sometimes they don't really make sense to Christians in the 21st century. Most of the time, though, if you understand just a little bit about the background of the story, the Bible makes a lot of sense to people of all times because it is so often based on fundamental human nature. Think about the parables that Jesus uses to teach his lessons. They are almost always about regular people in fairly typical situations. Parables can be understood, however, at several levels, and it is this characteristic of drawing us in to try to understand the hidden meaning that makes parables so effective. Well, I believe that although this scripture lesson from this morning is more a story about what Jesus did and said rather than a story that was told by Jesus, it is similar to a parable. It is based on the foundations of human nature. Regular people reacting and responding in fairly typical ways to what was happening to them. And so I hope we can together take a look at this passage. Jesus had just read from the Hebrew scrolls from the prophet Isaiah. As Jesus sits down, all eyes in the synagogue are riveted to him, and he says the line that started today's lesson. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, to a person, every single individual in the synagogue recognizes that the Jewish people have been waiting literally hundreds of years for God to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. And along comes Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, back to his hometown Nazareth, where he claims to be the one from God who has come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is a bold claim for Jesus to make. And do you remember how the people react to this statement? This is the son of Mary and Joseph, that hometown boy who grew up right here in this neighborhood. I remember Jesus when he was a little kid. And now look at what he has become. They are understandably proud of this amazing homegrown prophet. Just like Isaiah from the Hebrew Scriptures, Jesus is their very own prophet. Have you ever noticed how people react when somebody from their own town or even their own state is successful? Like a football player, or an Olympic gold medalist, or even a popular politician, people automatically claim that successful person as one of their own, as one of them, even if they never personally knew that successful person. Think about how we, the people of Denver, responded to John Elway when he brought home 2 Super Bowl rings. Or think about how the people of Vail were so ready to claim President Gerald Ford when he died and his life was being celebrated. When you go back to the Bible story, Jesus then gets ahead of the people in the synagogue when he guesses that they will want him to perform the very same signs and miracles as he did out of town in Capernaum. And Jesus pops their bubble when he predicts just how the people react once they understand how prophets really work and how he truly will be the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. And Jesus cites 2 other Hebrew Bible prophets as examples of what he's talking about, Elijah and Elisha. Now, in both of these cases, the prophet in question did not heal the person that you would have predicted. Neither Elijah nor Elisha helped out the folks of his own hometown and even in his homeland. And neither one healed somebody you might think of as worthy or good. Both of these earlier prophets were sent to someone from far away, an outsider, if you will. And both the widow at Zarephath and Naaman the Syrian were marginal people in the eyes of the nation of Israel, the chosen people. They were the least, the lost, and the outcast of society. Think about the widow of Zarephath. First, she was a woman. She was a widow. She was a woman without a son, and she was not a Jew. All of these things made her less than a full human being in the eyes of the Jews. And when you think about Naaman the Syrian, he was also not a Jew, and he was afflicted by leprosy, which made him literally and figuratively untouchable. And yet, these were the people to whom God sent God's prophets to offer salvation and eternal life. And Jesus uses these examples very pointedly to tell the people in the synagogue of Nazareth that not only was he the embodied fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, but also that he was exactly the same kind of prophet as Elijah and Elisha. Because Jesus did not come to take care of only those people in his hometown. In fact, his ministry was aimed primarily at those poor people, the marginalized people, the lost, the last, the outcasts, the dregs of society. And as you heard from the story from Scripture, this really enraged the people in the synagogue. Jesus was saying, in effect, I'm not here to heal my hometown neighbors who are healthy and wealthy and respectable. I'm here to heal those whom you've rejected. The Jewish community of Nazareth is so incensed, they are so angry that they're ready to kill one of their own, the son of Mary and Joseph. This crowd, this mob, is prepared to throw Jesus off a cliff in an ugly and violent act of murder. These are the chosen people of God ready to murder the Son of God. And I wonder how this part of the story strikes you. How do you think you would react if Jesus were to come into this building, into your hometown church, and say these things to you and to our community? Is this basic human nature that we read in Scripture? Or is there no parallel between this community's response to Jesus and the modern church's response to God's people? And I'm not even talking about the church universal, the church in the entire world. I am thinking about several examples from the Methodist Church. Did you realize that in the late 18th and early 19th centuries in this country, leaders in the Methodist Church were adamant in their support of the institution of slavery? These leaders even cited the Bible as their warrant for buying and selling African peoples. Did you realize that more recently, in the early 20th century, the United Methodist Church, actually it wasn't the United Methodist Church at the time, it was simply the Methodist Church, was convinced that it was wrong to ordain women as elders in the church? And again, they cited the Bible as their warrant for not allowing women to be leaders in the church. And do you realize that even more recently, in the 21st century, there are United Methodist people who firmly believe that undocumented Mexican people and gay and lesbian and transgender persons have no right to be members of the United Methodist Church? And again, they cite the Holy Bible as the warrant for not allowing these others to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. How do you suppose Jesus would respond to these people? When you hear Jesus' message in the bold and perhaps unexpected words of Isaiah, how do you react? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said it, and then Jesus did it, and now Jesus asks us to do this as well. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me and you to bring good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We are Christians. We are people of the United Methodist Church. We are children of God called to follow Jesus Christ. We are called to serve all of God's people and to make disciples of Jesus. This task is not easy, and it's not popular, and it's not what other people would expect of us. But it truly is what Jesus is calling us to do together. God's call is the toughest thing that we will ever do, and it is also the most wonderful and the most rewarding task we will ever undertake. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By God's grace and the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, may this truly be so. Amen.